Good evening and Merry Christmas. I'm pretty sure that you would agree with me what a delight it is to be able to be in church celebrating Jesus' birth on Christmas Eve. My mind goes back just a little over 8 months during the coronavirus lockdown when we had to celebrate Holy Week and Easter live streamed from the basement chapel in my home. That should never be, but here we are, thanks be to God. And you know, the older I get, the more I find myself kind of marking the passing of time, and specifically the passing of each year, by what seems to be a shorter and shorter interval between Christmases. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Those of you who can count your age in more than a few decades would have no problem understanding what I'm talking about. To put it more plainly, the older we get, the quicker each Christmas seems to come on the heels of the one that preceded it. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why Advent is such a good idea, because Advent forces us to slow down. Advent forces us to take time to prepare spiritually for Christmas instead of just kind of rushing headlong into it as much of our society does. Because when you really think about it, for those of us who are striving to live our lives under the Lordship of Christ and therefore are living in the light of eternity, all of that thing about the passage of time really should not be a troubling thought, knowing that with each passing year, we are that much closer to our destination and our true home, which is heaven. But human nature being what it is, it's just a little disconcerting to find yourself decorating the tree and putting up all the other trappings of Christmas and thinking to yourself, didn't we just put this stuff away? One of the things that the seemingly accelerated pace of time can do, especially when along with it we fall prey to the already frantic pace that contemporary life imposes on us as part of the preparation for Christmas, is to rob us of our peace and our joy, as well as our appreciation for why we celebrate this night and this day in the first place. So as an antidote to that, I encourage you during this Christmas season, and remember, Christmas really is a season, I encourage you to intentionally take some time to sit down and read prayerfully and reflectively the Christmas story, the biblical account of the birth of Jesus. If you haven't read the whole story in a while, you might even read a thing or two that will surprise you. Only two of the gospel writers, St. Matthew and St. Luke, tell us the story of Jesus' birth. And you can find the whole of what we know from the biblical record in what we call the infancy narratives or the nativity narratives, which are found in the first two chapters of the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. So again, I encourage you during this Christmas season, when you have a few moments to spare, just sit down and read through them very prayerfully and reflectively. As I've carefully studied these passages again, I found something that I had not really seen before, other than in a general way, general sense. I found a common thread that is a very fundamental theme of the Christmas message, one that is heard in the words of the angels that are an important element of the entire narrative, all throughout it, not just at Bethlehem, but all throughout it. The angels, of course, are spirit beings whose primary role in the Nativity, as elsewhere, is to deliver a message from God to his people. The word angel from the Greek is the word angelos, or in Latin, angelus, which literally means messenger. In the first two chapters of both Matthew and Luke, we see three separate individuals and one separate group of people encountering an angel who tells them something astonishing about what is taking place. And here's the common thread. In each of those four encounters, a vital part of the angel's message is this: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Here are the four encounters in their chronological order. In Luke chapter 1, we read of the priest Zacharias, the father of the soon-to-be-born John the Baptist. Zacharias is offering incense in the temple when the angel Gabriel appears to him, and we read these words in verses 12 and 13. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." 6 months later, also in Luke chapter 1, the Blessed Virgin Mary is in her home in Nazareth when suddenly the angel Gabriel appears to her and says this: "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And then we read this in verses 29 through 33. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Thirdly, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, St. Joseph has just found out that Mary, his betrothed, is pregnant. Without yet knowing anything beyond that, he assumes the worst. And Matthew tells us that being a just man and not wanting to put Mary to shame, Joseph was resolved to send her away quietly, and here's what happens next. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And then finally, in Luke chapter 2, the Bethlehem shepherds were out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And this is what happens in verses 9 through 14. We read this. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Now, let's think about this for a minute. Let's think about these four encounters, because humanly speaking, all of these people, Zacharias, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, had reason to be afraid, didn't they? After all, it's not every day that an archangel suddenly stands in front of you or hovers over you and speaks, right? So they had reason to be afraid. Joseph had reason to be afraid because of what he wrongly thought was going on in Mary's life. But in each case, without exception, they were told by the angel, "Do not be afraid." And remember, the angel had come directly from the throne of God with this message. And so when Almighty God tells you don't be afraid, what should you do? Don't be afraid. Now, it would not be an exaggeration to say that on this Christmas Eve, 2020, even, when we even say that, 2020, right? I mean, I think 2020 is going to enter into our lexicon in future years as a pejorative, 2020. He went all 2020 on me, right? But we live in a world and a time that are filled with fear. Some of the reasons for the fear are valid and reasonable, and others are simply exaggerated and hyped by the media or some other interest group to promote an agenda. But the net effect is the same. Our world tonight, Christmas Eve 2020, is a fearful place, made all the more fearful this year by the presence of a global pandemic, by political turmoil, and by cultural rot. But that's why we need the message of Christmas. Again, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So the Christmas message that dispelled the fears of Zacharias and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds is the very same message that should dispel our fears today and for the rest of our lives. Do not fear, for there is born to you a Savior. And you know, as you read these stories of these people who encountered the angel and heard the message, "Do not fear," what you read is clear evidence that in every case, fear gave way to overflowing joy manifested in a crescendo of praise to God. Read, for example, Mary's Magnificat in Luke chapter 1. Read, for example, the Canticle of Zacharias earlier in Luke chapter 1. And this about the Bethlehem shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. Listen to this. "And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in their heart." And here's verse 20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." Our Lord Jesus Christ himself repeated these words of the Christmas angel over and over again to his disciples and to us when he walked the earth. So many times he said, "Do not be afraid, fear not, let not your hearts be troubled." There's a powerful reality behind those words, a reality that goes to the heart of the Christmas story. The reality is that the God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God who called all that is into being, the all-good, all-powerful, all-holy God who dwells in the heavens has come to earth. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He became a man, born as a baby, walked among us, redeemed us by his death and resurrection from sin and death and Satan in order that we might have access to heaven and eternal life and in order that we might not live in fear. And so I ask you this Christmas Eve, what is it tonight that you fear? What is it that occupies your thoughts and emotions with troubling anxiety and uneasiness? Could be any of the things that I mentioned a moment ago or any of a number of other current producers of anxiety. Or it could be something much closer to home, something far more personal, a fear that haunts and harasses you right where you live, every day of your life. So if you're sitting here this evening, acknowledging in your own heart that you're living in fear, Almighty God has something to say to you tonight. The message is the same one delivered by the Christmas angel, and the same one that our Lord and Savior spoke so many times. Do not be afraid. In the midst of the turmoil, the confusion, the uncertainty, and the angst that the world, the flesh, and the devil use to threaten us, if you are in Christ, if you are living your life in relationship with Him and under His Lordship, you need fear nothing. And so I encourage you, before this Christmas season ends, come to the manger. Receive the peace and the joy, the serenity, the contentment that only Jesus can provide. Not only for today, not only for this Christmas season, but for the rest of your life and into eternity. How do you do that? By recommitting, or if necessary, committing for the first time your life to Him. And then, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.